This is Armand DeMel with you with the positive mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today we're going to continue our discussions and our research. We had begun with talking about fathers, and we were talking about the father's role. We had Scott Baum as guest, and Scott Baum talked about some of his research with dads and their kind of invisible role nowadays, not knowing, they don't know what to do, they don't know where they belong, we don't know where to fit them in society. You know, are they out there earning the money? Are they available? Are they sensitive or not sensitive? They're trying to be sensitive. But then they could get, I've heard wives say to their husbands, I'm sick of your sensitivities. You know, because they don't, the guy keeps saying, you know, this hurts me and that hurts me and this offends me and that bothers me. And the new age, sometimes women just don't like to hear all that from their husbands. I'd rather you go back to being an oaf. You know, I don't want to hear so much about how easily you're hurt. In fact, one of the reasons that people are attracted to guys who are impermeable, who you can't get through, is because sometimes people feel like, or women feel like, that they're destructive, you know, that they have a basic destructive nature, that they're nasty inside. And they want to find somebody who won't feel it if they lash out. Somebody who could handle their anger, their aggression. You know, so sometimes they pick people who are numb, or sometimes they pick people who are tough. And sometimes they wish they could find somebody who is just so strong that he won't take it. You know, he won't let you offend him and hurt him. Now, men are like that, too. Men should find to look for women sometimes who are so big, you know, who are so enormous. And you wonder, why is a man very often look for a woman to dominate him? What is it that she's dominating? What is it that he wants? You know, and this is what I mean. A man says, you know, I don't want a woman who is a very sensitive woman. I don't want that. I don't want a woman who is very needy or very giving. He said, I don't want that. I want a woman who could hold her own. And very often what he really means is, I want a woman who could hold her own against me, because I feel like I have some qualities inside me that are bad, such as my rage and my anger. And so what men do frequently is they'll search a woman who will dominate them, so much so that if they play act it sexually, it usually sounds like she's calling him, you're a bad boy, you're a no good boy, you're a nasty boy. And he's saying, oh, I'm nasty. And that's kind of the sexual acting out way of dealing with this. So we're saying the following. Sometimes we choose people who can oppress us because we're afraid of our own tyrannical self. How do you do it yourself? How do you feel about your own, the tyrant inside you? Do you feel like you're a tyrant in your relationship with your husband or your wife? You know, boyfriend, girlfriend, children? Are you a tyrant? Are you somebody who just feels like they're out of control? Well, there's been some recent research on teenagers and how teenagers, how they've discovered in certain teenagers that the prefrontal cortex can be immature. And it's not just an act of rebellion, that in certain children the prefrontal cortex does not develop in certain adolescents, and what happens to them is they become self-centered, they become angry, and they become acting out, men and women, boys and girls, this is. And imagine being an adolescent who hits other adolescents, who feels like you're about to scream, who can at times do things like, you know, even feel like slapping your own mother. Now, this is just a chemical basis of some underdevelopment of the brain. But what must that teenager feel like inside? Well, at first, they feel like there's something wrong with them. What is wrong with them? They know they're not supposed to be hitting their brothers and sisters and other people in the neighborhood. They know they shouldn't be feeling so much aggression. And they have parents who don't understand, so their parents take them to therapists. and their parents take them to therapists who feel powerless in being able to overcome it, and then eventually the child stops trying to change and just accepts the fact that he or she is aggressive, and they just behave this way. But they go through life looking for somebody strong enough to handle them. Now, this is the way it is when you've got this latent anger inside you as a teenager. You look for people to control you. What is it that we're looking for? Who is going to be the control for us? Is it going to be your mama? Is it going to be some woman strong enough, big enough to handle you? Hopefully, maybe so. Some man strong enough to be able to handle you? How many times in your life have you wished that there would be somebody who could handle you? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever wish that there are times that you're completely out of control and you wish there was somebody who could just stop you from what you do, the nasty stuff? Some of this stuff you'll see, very often you can pick up the worst characteristics of the parent that you had the most difficulty with. And you'll find out, you know, your parent may have been nasty or rude or something like that. You know, and you pick up that quality and you swear you'll never be like them. And then you wind up being like them. Then you wind up yelling at your children and humiliating your children or being impatient with your children. And you wish somebody would stop you. You wish somebody would come along who would say, stop what you're doing. Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, talking about the way we sometimes feel out of control and we wish that there was somebody strong enough to help us with it. I remember two friends, and I remember them really well because there was one guy who was just wacky. And he was wacky and he was itchy and he used to go around the streets and he would be nasty. And he would be, you know, ready to pick a fight if somebody looked at him wrong. And he had this other friend. The friend's name was Richie. And Richie would kind of look at him every now and then when he saw him getting a little wild. And Richie would put his arm around him and say, how are you? Just to calm him down. So, do we have friends like that? Do you have friends like that? Do you have a sister or a brother like that? Don't you wish you had a sister who could say to you, take it easy, kitty. I love you. I know of one family of sisters who are just terrific. They are just terrific with each other, and they support each other, and they help the other person stay away from their wild side when that wild side gets out of hand, when the person gets bent out of shape, when you get overly worried, overly angry, overly anxious, you know, overly jealous. So do you find anybody who can help you with it? Or do you wind up being alone? Do you wind up just saying to yourself, I'm going to be alone because nobody could handle me because I can't live with anybody? Well, that's what most people do. A lot of people do that. They make this decision. There's a new group of young men in the world. They're 40-ish, 45-ish, living alone. And they have this new thing, kind of. It's like they've given up on relationships, so they pick up some little thing like playing guitar or something like that. And they stay at home and they practice their skill at guitar. But they've kind of given up on having the relationship. There's a new high number of single men in their 40s who live alone because they realize that there's nobody they could be with and be comfortable with. That when they're with somebody else, and when you're with somebody close, you tend to bring up all the demons that are inside of you. That's the advantage of being alone. The advantage of being alone is you never have to challenge yourself. The advantage of having a mate is that you have to look at yourself. You learn about yourself all the time. You grow all the time because you have to deal with yourself in order to be with someone else. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to take your calls today. I want to learn about you and your sense of being out of control. Do you have a sense that sometimes you wish there was somebody who would be there strong, big enough to catch you if you fall down? We used to do an experience, actually, during workshops. very common in the 60s and 70s. And in this workshop, what you would do, it was called a trust exercise. It was very simple. There were a couple of them. One of them was, which is the most fascinating one, we called it the blind walk. And in a blind walk, you would close your eyes, and a partner would walk you by your elbow around through other people. And there could be 100 or 200 people in the room, half of which would be their eyes closed, and the other half would be leading them. And so we would give this experience, and your idea here is to see if you could trust this other human to walk you, because you got to keep your eyes closed. Well, some people couldn't keep their eyes closed. Now, this other interesting thing happened. Some of the people who were leaders would take a person and walk them right into a wall, like right into a column, and they'd smash their face in the column. And they'd say, "Why'd you do that?" And I don't know, just a joke. But why they did it was because they didn't want anybody to trust them, because they had to prove to themselves that nobody could be trusted. Of course, that was the odd bird, you know? They'd certainly get scolded enough, and, you know, that then they'd be under control, because everybody would be watching them and saying, "Ooh, that's the person who did bad." The other experience, and so you could try that blind walk with your family. If you've got a family of sons and daughters, you know, try it. Be the parent and let your son or daughter walk you around the room. Let them walk you around the house. And they'll tell you when to lift your leg, when not to lift your leg, when to step, when not to step. But be the person and tell your child, "Walk me." And they'll have this experience. There's another beautiful experience available nowadays with the water. You know, it's where you float on the water and you let the other person just kind of move you around. They take your pinkies, they take your fingertips, and they take your toes and they move you that way if you're floating. And if you're lucky enough to have a little extra floating fat on your body that helps you to stay above water easier, you could relax more. And then they just pull you by the fingers, and then they pull you by the toes, and you just let them guide you around the water. It's exquisite, it's beautiful, it's great. You know? But doing it on land is a far scarier thing to do. Another experiment called the trust experience was, you would have a stand behind a person. Just you would stand 3 inches behind a person, you'd have them fall back. And you'd catch them with your arms under their arms, you know, and if it was just 3 inches, they'd wind up hitting your chest. And then you'd stand back 6 inches, and you'd let them fall back, and you'd catch them. And then you'd stand back 2 feet, and you'd see them fall, and as they were falling, they would break their legs, and they'd not break their legs, they would step their leg back so that they wouldn't be completely falling. Even though they knew it was safe, and usually what they do is you had a bunch of pillows or a mat underneath in case you don't catch them. But the experience of falling back and trusting someone else is not common, not easy for many people. How many people do you fall back on? That's the question. How many people do you let catch you? At what distance? At what risk? How many people do you let walk you through something with you being not seeing, you know? This is Armand DeMille. The telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're taking your calls today because I want to know about you. This does relate to your dad, and we're going to talk to you about that. Because in early childhood, you know, it's very tough. I mean, sometimes a person's aggressiveness appears in sometimes repetitive lying. You know, they're out of control because they could just, the dog ate the homework. They make excuses for everything. Or sometimes it shows in a sense of defiance. You defy your parents, your teachers, or you're continually in trouble, or even petty theft. You know, sometimes there are some people who walk into a store and they can't stop themselves from stealing something. They take stuff. There could be a pattern of hurting other people. Just hurting them, pinching them, you know, squeezing them, doing something to them, slapping. You know, or then little acts of vandalism or fire setting or destructiveness. I remember once sitting looking outside a window, and I was looking out this window, and I saw this young boy who looked like Dennis the Menace. And he kept passing by, but every time he passed by, there was a flower pot in front of the window. And I was looking out the window, but he couldn't see back, and I was watching the window. Every time he passed by, he had to hurt something. He'd rip a flower, he'd crush it with his hands, anything he could see. I saw him crush bugs. You know, I saw once they put up a little sign that said, please do not mark these walls, and he would be tearing down the sign a little at a time, you know, picking on it. Hell, when you get someone like that, where, when he grows up, where does he find somebody who could be his guide, his help? You know what they do with a lot of kids when they have impulse controls? They put them in the army. Yes, they get them enlisted in the army, and they have the kind of discipline that these people are looking for very often. Because, you know, what's good about the army? Nothing. But what's really good about the army is that there is a discipline set down. There is a thing that happens. There is a time when they stand up above you and they say, you can't do anything other than what we tell you. And there are many a soldier who have, many a person who is kind of doomed. They've went to prison. Well, actually, they're not allowed to be taken out of prison, but on the road to prison, get thrown into the armed forces. And what they do in the army is they learn this discipline. They finally find a place. And when they find a place where somebody is disciplining them and controlling them, what they do is they relax for the first time. I'm safe. There's somebody around big enough to take care of me. 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls right now, my friends. An act of trying to find somebody who is big enough to handle you. You know, have you ever thought about it? Did you ever wish it were true? I mean, if left on your own, you're just going to take everything over, do everything your own way. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you, Armand?
I'm great. Who is this?
Good. My name is Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Yeah. Well, it's really nice to hear your voice. I love your show. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm at work, and this is my lunch. I just had to ask somebody to leave my office. I just wanted to tell you, I didn't hear everything you said, but the feeling out of control, I was feeling that this morning, and my husband did such a beautiful thing with me. He just told me just to close my eyes, and he just danced around. We just danced around as he hummed a song.
Wow.
And I'm so grateful to him for that.
What's his name?
His name is Michael, and I wish he would listen to your show. A lot of times I call him. I said, you need to hear Aman talk today, and he's always working so hard, and a lot of times he doesn't.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Michael sounds a little bit of a saint. That was a beautiful thing to do with
you. Oh, my gosh. He saved my life. He saved my day. I've been having such a hard time. And
Well, let me ask you something now. Imagine this. Mm-hmm. Just imagine this, because there's magic in the universe, you know? Imagine that somehow you could say you could say something right now to Michael on directly, and that somehow, without his even knowing it, working as hard as he is, your voice is going to go into the telephone, and then it's going to come all the way through this satellite, and then it's going to bounce its way down to our antenna and into these very headphones I have on my ears, and then it's going to reverse itself, and then your sound is going to join with my sound, and we're going back up into the satellite all the way out there in the universe, and somehow people out there must be people on Mars and Venus who listen to this program.
Absolutely.
And the airwaves are going to go down, and somewhere they're going to settle on your guy's head.
Yeah.
And they're somehow just going to, he's going to feel it. So just imagine, through the grace of all of this magic and airwaves and whatever else makes the universe work, you could say to him something really that you want to say directly to his heart that he could feel without him ever knowing you're saying it. Mm-hmm. Say it to him now directly, Barbara.
Well, Michael, you're the most beautiful person that could ever happen to me, and I'm very fortunate to have you in my life. And thank you so much for being who you are. And
Okay, we'll sit that right there, Michael. And Barbara, thank you for being who you are.
Thank you.
And you know, and if you ever want to, you could go to thepositivemind.com and you could go to where it says listen to the radio. And you could press that radio button, and under archives, you'll hear about today's program. And then you could play that program, and Michael could hear it.
Fabulous. That's great.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye.
So there's one of the things right there Barbara teaches us. One of the very things that you need to do sometimes is just be held. Just be held. Did you ever wish your father would hold you? Do you ever wish he would be more tender with you, more affectionate with you, put his hands on you and just say, oh, my little kitty, you know? I mean, so many times, you know, they're absent, especially nowadays. There's such an absence of physical tenderness. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. You're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi. Hello there. I've got it. 212-209-2900.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Hi. This is Leora. I just wanted to ask possibly if you can help us a little. In terms of when you say control, what do you mean by that?
I don't know, Leora. In terms of control, I use the word a lot. In terms
I know,
of control,
you know, like we use
what?
The word mind, consciousness, energy. But when you say control, where does that come from, Armand? Or lack of it. I mean, where does it start? Are you born with it?
You mean self-discipline?
Whatever. You can call it self-discipline. I mean, the control of what I can do and can't do, what I shouldn't
do. Sometimes, Leora, sometimes a person finds themselves out of control. And by out of control, I mean you're not driving the car. Some force inside you is driving the car for you. You know, sometimes you're not using your best judgment. Sometimes you're not in your own skin. Sometimes people are acting in ways that are not within the way that they would like to be. That's what I mean. And control means that you have a choice over what you would do with the way you would react, the way you would talk, the way you would be. So that's what I mean in that form. Has that happened to you? Did you ever wish that you could be more emotional or more intellectual or more close to other people? Did you ever wish?
Well, of course. I mean, your whole life, starting from the time you're born, is being boundaries, and you learn you're not born with that. And now if I look back in my journey, I'm working on that every single moment of each day. Things may come up where I don't think you ever get finished learning how to speak with tenderness or to have an empathy, to learn how to not hurt other people. But the key word here is a kind of consciousness and a kind of awareness. And so I feel that this process goes on all your life. Don't you think so?
Sure I do, and I think people learn all of their lives. But I think the faster you're aware of the process, and I think you're giving us something valuable here, Leora, the more you're aware that there is an active process that you're a part of and you're a growing part, that, you know, you're imperfect yet and you haven't been made perfect yet and you're working along the way to try to improve yourself, and the more you're aware of this, the more consciousness you have that, you know, you just don't have it right yet and you're going to make mistakes and you're willing to learn, the more you're aware of it, the faster you learn.
Yeah, and I like the idea. You really brought something to me because I've been, I'm alone at this moment, but you really brought an awareness and a consciousness that the greatest learning and the challenging, and if you're wanting to meet your goals, is you really need a partner, a social person, to be able to practice, challenge, but to practice and to relearn. Having that kind of a partner, you have a lot of people that may be alone or are not with people, but you brought something that was very brilliant and very wise, that we human beings are there to help each other learn and to grow and to practice. If we have something, if I teach something, and how am I going to learn it? How am I going to, I have to go out and create a situation for me to practice this journey of growing.
Yeah, I understand. Because, you know, alone, what happens to people alone is they can just validate their own craziness. You know, like they could say, you know, you can't trust anybody, or just stay home and watch television, or you need to relax. I've watched people who have been sick, physically sick, who don't have the energy to get up. And you put them in a rehab institute, and if they go to a rehab program, right, they'll say to the doctor, I just don't have the energy. My body tells me to rest. And the doctor says, don't listen to your body. Your body wants you to die. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to your body. Fight your body and get yourself moving. Mm-hmm. Challenge that inner desire, because I think there is, and I think Freud had this theory about Thanatos. He had this theory that there was a kind of a thanatophilia, which means a love of death, that there's some part of us which would like to slide into oblivion. Mm-hmm. And the real truth of it is, if you want to be part of life and you want to be a contributing member of life, the place to go is to step out of the oblivion, find a partner, find somebody to relate to, belong to something, whether it's a love partner or a good friend or a group or something, or volunteer work, be a part of life and you live even more. And I think you're absolutely right, Leora. Thank you for calling in as usual.
My honor, and bless you also, Armin, for the wonderful sparks of wisdom that not only go out to each one of us, but your sparks travel in the cosmos and never know what your huge wisdom and intellect can touch other people that you'll never know.
You know, Leora, I know it, and I mean, just as yours does when you're on the air with me. Because just to think about it, I mean, I want you to think about this whole idea of webcasting and podcasting that we're doing now. We are now everywhere in the world. There are people who are just religiously listening to certain programs on WBAI, The Positive Mind being one of them, and they find it the only ear. I mean, there are people who are listening in Africa, who are listening in China. And they take it and they download it and they listen to it and they listen to you and they listen to Barbara, who just called, and they say to themselves, what wonderful people. What wonderful people. How could there be these just three wonderful people in the universe? And we're just a scant few. But to many people, they've never heard a kind voice.
That's so true. It's so very true. And even with your program, even if we walk in the street, right, Armin, and we smile, we could be the only person that smiled at that person without any words, just, right? We just don't know.
Yep. And could be the only person that smiled that day at that one person. And it could make all the difference in the world. It could make the difference between a person deciding to walk off a bridge because they feel unconnected.
That's right. And even this person of the lack of control, if you have it and you're with them and being in the now moment, you can touch a chord in them and start maybe a wiring that can change their life, just like you do for us.
Hey, Leora, I've got something for you. I'm going to switch the music I was going to play. I've got something for you. I'm going to take a little break, and when I come back, I'm going to play something specifically for you, Leora.
Thank you.
Okay? Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
You're mine.
Well, this is Armand DeMille. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Not before I play you something very special.
Trembling trees embraced the breeze tenderly. Then you and I came walking.
I thought you couldn't outdo Ben Webster, you know, doing Tenderly. And there it is, Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis, of all things, doing Tenderly. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hope you enjoyed that, Leora. We're taking your calls at 212-209-2900. In case you just tuned in, this is a tender program. Well, tender, but not whooshy. Yeah, I mean, we care about people, and I believe in strength and tenderness, both. And I think sometimes you've got to be strong for your partner. Sometimes you've got to be able to help them stop what they're doing if they're doing something destructive. You know, you may turn over them and you say, hey, honey, you think you want that much salt in your diet? You might. Or you might say to them, you know, you are a little bent out of shape about that. But, you know, it's according to how you do it. I mean, if you're going to inhibit your partner, if you're going to be critical of them, you better make sure you throw in a lot of good stuff. Because it's not the best friend's job to be critical of their partner, you know. If you're going to try to help somebody grow, give them good stuff, you know. Hey, how handsome you look today. Mind if I help you clip those hairs on your nostril? You know, I mean, stuff like that. You know, it's really nice. You look really wonderful today. I love the style of your hair being as wild as it is. That's really nice. Can I comb it for you? You know, if you'd like, or would you rather leave it just the way it is? Good idea. Not going to work today. I see you sleeping in late. Good morning, honey. I see it's 9 o'clock and you're still asleep, and I know you're supposed to be at work at 9:30. Would you like to stay asleep a little longer? I mean, I could call up your job and make an excuse for you, or would you like to really get up and get going? How could I help you do it, you know? I'd help you here. I'm bringing you this cup of tea to get you going, if you want to. And if you don't want to, you know, that's okay, but do you really want some help? I'll give you a hand. Or the next day, you know, sweetie, I noticed you slept through the day and you didn't go to work, and that got you certain trouble with your job. How would you like me next to handle when you're sleeping and I know you want to be getting up and going to work? Tell me what to do. Should I drop a pail of water on your head? Should I wake you up? Should I tickle you? You know, should I take your covers off your bed? Should I turn on the air conditioner? Should I open the window? Should I turn on the lights? What should I do to help you when I know it's you who want to do better? Hey, I noticed you've been trying a diet, but I noticed there you are eating a Krispy Kreme. Would you rather I didn't bring them in the house every day? You know, little things like that. That's support and love. That's the kind of thing you do. And that's the kind of thing that people really benefit with each other. That's the kind of love that you could share. But it's very tough, because when you're in love, you could be so mean to your partner. Sometimes if you want that person the most and you want to get really close to them, you could act really mean. You could act indifferent to them. You know, imagine what it's like, a man being in love with a woman, and then that woman acts indifferent to him. You know, he calls her up on the phone and she asks, hi. She barely answers the phone. You know, how indifferent. No whoopee. No nothing. You know, that's ooh, indifference. That's a terrible thing. Why would you be acting indifferent to a person, you know, that you really care about? Or why would you be pushing? Because sometimes you get so crazy that you do crazy things, the most crazy things you do are to the person you love the most. And we always hurt the one we love the most. It's so stupid. Plain, basic, stupid humanness. Hurting the people you love. So crazy, so nutty. But it's done. And so that's where we got to help each other. You got to help the other person from not hurting you somehow. And you got to help the person by not hurting them too. Very difficult. Very difficult as we get out of control. We get in, you know, you can't always be good, you know. There are some people I know who have a maximum human exposure time of 2 hours and 25 minutes. They figured it out. I cannot be with another human for more than 2 hours and 25 minutes, they say. Now, they could be married, but they never spend time with their mates. They could have children, but they never spend time with their children. But 2 hours and 25 minutes with any particular human, and you're ready to climb the walls. That's as much relating time as you can handle. There's some part of you that says, I've got to be alone. You know? Are you like that? Are you somebody who just can't stand having all that time with other people? Well, you may not be like that. You may be somebody who says, I could take all the time you want to give me. You know, any amount of time you want to give me. And you may just be this kind of person who says, oh, no. What am I going to do? How am I going to get away? What about that time I need for myself? Telephone number here is 212-209-2900. It's a funny world we live in, you know. We're trying to teach people how to be the most compassionate selves they could be. But sometimes you must understand about people, they just don't have it. Sometimes you don't have it to be compassionate. Sometimes you don't have it to be understanding. Sometimes you just want to spit and throw things and make noise and kick things. And if you have somebody around, they get in the way of the thing you kick and now you hurt them. You know, that's pretty tough. So some people just say, I'm not going to be around anybody else. This way, if I kick the wall, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I understand. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille on WBAI. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Armand. This is Keith. How are you doing?
Hello, Keith.
Hi. I'm just calling because something struck a chord with me when you were talking about how some mates think they need to have someone to stop them from doing some of the compulsive things that they do. You know, I'm getting married on the 18th of this month, and my wife-to-be is very judgmental, and she just judges everybody and everything and every situation, and I'm sort of like the opposite. I have a very spiritual nature, and I try to say you shouldn't judge anything really that much. So when she gets very judgmental, what I do is that I just get very sarcastic about how she's being judgmental, but I do it in a comical way. I never do it like in a degrading way. I always
give me an example of that. Would you show me this? You're spiritual, she's judgmental. She becomes judgmental, you become sarcastic. Give me an example of that.
Like, she'll say something like, look at those two, that couple in that car. I mean, look at them. They're kissing and they're blocking up the street. You know, they're not even moving. You know, they're not paying attention to the road. They're just too much into each other. They should concentrate on the road if you're driving. And then I say, yeah, I guess if I were to do that to you, you wouldn't like that either. You know, if I were all of a sudden just to stop and just start to hug you while we were in the car, I guess you really wouldn't like that, you know.
and then I'll put a little chuckle. It's an interesting way of human humor in the form of sarcasm. It's very loving. But let me get one thing clear to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get one thing clear to you, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Part of the reason that you're marrying this woman, what's her name?
Her name is Jackie.
Part of the reason you're marrying Jackie is because Jackie is spitting fire. You like Jackie's vinegar. You like that part of her that's out there judging people. Because you are somebody who has never been comfortable with your own anger. You see? Now, when you're not comfortable with being angry and being able to express anger directly, you generally find somebody who is too angry, and they are nasty kind of, they kind of spill this stuff out all over the place a little bit. And between the two of you, you help her control her nastiness, and she helps you from going to sleep. And you like her power, and you like her strength on some level, and you like her judgmentalism on some level. Because in a way, she's being the critical that you somehow feel somewhere inside you, but you don't express. So even though you're going to squelch it with her, what you two are going to do with each other is help balance each other. Your peace and your inner peace is going to help her come down from her criticism. And her strength, the strength of her criticism, is going to help spark you back into life. So I wish you a lot of luck on 818. I'm going to be thinking of you on August 18th, and I hope everybody here in WBAI, everybody, make a note. What time are you getting married on 818?
Actually, the real marriage is going to be on the 17th. That's going to be when we go down to the courthouse. But on the 18th, that's when we're having our wedding celebration.
Time you going down to the courthouse on the 17th?
Oh, early, like about 9. We should get there about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the morning, everybody who remembers, on 8:18, on 9 o'clock, 8:17 at 9 o'clock in the morning, if they make a little note, they're going to be sending out good wishes to you. What is that, a Saturday or a Thursday?
Yeah, that's Thursday.
Next Thursday morning. Keith,
yes.
I wish you guys luck.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah,
take my
I'm
good
feeling good about it.
Okay, great. You keep us posted.
All right.
All right. In fact, why don't you do that? Why don't we start a saga here? Since you're just about to get married, would you call us every week and tell us this is Keith and I'm reporting in on the state of my marriage?
I'd love to do that.
Oh, and
yeah,
I would love
great.
To follow your marriage.
Yeah.
I want to hear the goods and the bad. Say, here's what I find out is terrific, and here's what I'm having trouble with.
Well, I have to put a little aside in there. Actually, we've lived together for 2 years. So.
Oh, now you're making it easy.
I don't know.
But let's see how marriage changes things. You know, marriage changes a tremendous amount. It changes a great deal.
That's true, because this is my second marriage, and I know that for a fact.
Okay, so you keep us posted. Thank you very much for calling in, Keith.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900, our telephone number here. We're taking calls. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, are you, Armand? My name is Sippy.
Sippy.
Yes.
Hi there.
I'm an Israeli. I've been married for 25 years, and my husband is very shy, and I'm the spitfire, and yes, he helped me control myself. I've often honored him for being such a good mirror for me so I can have something to work and improve myself on. And actually always felt he, in his quiet way, is very aloof, but always felt that I somehow maybe was not enough of a mirror for him and didn't stand up in some way. But we are wonderful after 25 years, getting along, really getting into the groove. I like what you said about we marry the qualities of the inner child that isn't in us. then we actually hate it to some degree, and then once we actually learn to love them in spite of the thing we married them for, that releases our inner child to be that quality that we loved in them. But now I have a 24-year-old daughter who somehow looks at this very even, you know, relationship, and she says, it looks like abuse. Because we all know how to get along so well, to how it doesn't look so wonderful that he doesn't know how to say all the niceties, or that I might be learning how to be a little bit more quiet, which is a great thing for me, but to how it looks like maybe we are like in a bad relationship, just learning how and just enduring each other.
Well,
and it helps.
Well, what kind of abuse? Who does she see as abusing who?
Does she see
your husband abusing you, or you abusing your husband?
She sees my husband abusing me in only the verbal, sometimes not being very talkative, you know, or not being very eager to. He's like sort of like an aloof, alone type of guy. The guy that's
so what
his
it
own
sounds
world.
Like. It sounds like Sippy, your daughter is saying she needs more contact with her father. It sounds like she's saying, you know, even though she may be judging it, it sounds like she's saying, I need Daddy to be closer to me on some level. I need to be able to talk to Daddy in a different way. I need him not to be so aloof and so separate.
To how he's almost like you might say very giving way they're willing to talk. But, you know, given that he's a very super shy person in his own world sometimes, and probably it's not so easy to talk to a young girl. But I'm not suggesting he's aloof from her for how he'd do anything. It's just that when she sees us together as a unit, she says, that's not a good relationship. And I worry sometimes that what she's saying is that I'm showing her a relationship where the woman is not, looks, where the guy doesn't have to control the way he's talking because he's so comfortable. You see, I made it so comfortable
well,
to
wait,
live
wait, wait.
With
Back
me.
Up just a little bit, Sippy.
Yeah.
Now what I'm hearing is that she's competing with you for who is a better mate for her, for your dad, for her dad. She's saying, you know, Dad and I get along really well. You and Dad don't get along.
Yeah, but she's saying, Dad, it hurts me if you don't talk nice to Mom because it's not nice to be around if you're not talking nice.
Yeah, it's an awful funny relationship for her to be so far in the middle of it, you know?
That's right. You know, that's interesting. So she just came back from being 5 years away. She went to the Middle East, learned Arabic, was a volunteer in the West Bank, went to France and was teaching English to little children outside Paris. But I guess it's true. She came back after 5 years, and she sort of is watching it. And she, yeah, interesting.
Interesting is right. So somehow there's something not being said between the three of you.
Yes.
And somehow there's got to be a quiet conversation where you sit down and say, what do you need, honey? What do you need? Let's get underneath all of this. What do you need? And maybe she'll be able to tell you, you know?
Yeah. So maybe thank you. And maybe we'll come and visit you on your one-hour special with the family. I'll come with Lisa, and I'll buy the hour with you.
Love to see you.
Thank you, Almond.
Sure, Sippy.
Bye.
That's Mississippi. Mississippi. Mississippi, right? She's married, right? So she's Mississippi. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Love taking your calls, my friends. We're taking your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Carolee.
Hello, Carolee?
Carolee. My ears really rang when you talked about not wanting to spend more than 2.5 hours with someone.
2 hours and 25 minutes.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, be clear, there is no room after that 25
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, I need to be alone. And how do you start to get over that a little? Because obviously, you know, I'm just not seeing anybody consistently with that.
You drink.
Gin or vodka.
That's what most people do, you know. They either drink or they do something to keep them in place. Sometimes they weight themselves down with food. What happens to you? Tell me what happens.
I feel like I need to decompress. You mean what happens when I'm alone?
If you're with one person, let's say on a date,
if I was with somebody on a date that I didn't want to be?
No, that you're on a date with somebody, and then a couple of hours pass by, do you start getting the creepy crawlies? Do you
I itch, yeah, I feel That's I feel pressure.
Yeah, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So what level do you let yourself go to? I mean, do you ever invite anyone over to your home?
I do not invite anybody over, pretty much, no.
Yeah, because it's hard to get rid of them.
Well, yeah.
But if you go to somebody else's home, you can get up whenever you want.
I like that much better.
You like that much better.
I do.
What's your best exit line? Let's say you spend a little intimate time with somebody at their apartment, right? And let's say you're laying around and you make love or something like that, and now you decide you're getting a little antsy. What do you say?
Okay. I don't know. I usually say I have someplace else I have to go.
I have someplace else I have to go.
Yeah, I got to be XYZ.
Work. I have to... Ryan, I have to get up, I have to go, I got to take care of my cat.
Yeah, I got to work, I got to do whatever, right.
Yeah, okay. Usually people have pets, you know.
I have a pet, I do, I got to feed the little cat, yeah.
Yeah, I got to go take care of my cat.
Yeah, right. Something like that, yeah.
So the idea of it is that there's a part inside you, what you're saying, Carolee, is that there's a part of you that's restless. And it's really restless, and something seems to happen to you at intimate moments. And I think I know what it is.
Am I one of those really angry people that won't reveal her anger?
No, I think you're sad.
Oh, well, I am sad, that I know.
Yeah. And I think what happens when you become intimate with somebody is you start to feel the aches and pains that you've had in the past. You know, and some of those aches and pains, I'm sure, are related to your family. And so you could dance on the surface as much as you want when you're alone. But when you get close to somebody and intimate with somebody, that stuff begins to appear. And the restlessness you're talking about,
yeah,
I think it's tears.
But then I don't want to cry. You know, you can't really avalanche tears
can.
All over
of
anybody.
It doesn't, it doesn't belong in your lover's bed. But
or in your friend's table or wherever.
Or your friend's table or in your friend's soup.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's that close as you say it is, good psychotherapy, fast psychotherapy would be the perfect place to bring it. That's where you take those feelings that you're afraid of and you face them. And luckily, psychotherapy only lasts usually 45 minutes.
Way under 25 minutes.
Well, they see 2 hours and 25 minutes is what they call a triple session.
Oh, God, but you don't do those, do you?
I do them sometimes, but, you know, that's the real difficult stuff.
Yeah.
So, Sippy, you know, it might be, I'm sorry, Carolee, it might be time, you know, it might be time to say, I'd like to face these demons.
Well, you called it fast psychotherapy. What is that?
Fast. Well, there's some psychotherapy is much faster than other psychotherapy. I describe a couple of them on my website. You might take a look at thepositivemind.com.
I'll take a look, yeah.
You know, just faster, you know. But of course, it's being fast, it has to be more intense. And more intense means you get through it faster.
Like, how long is fast? Is that 2 months or
a year?
Yes,
about that. Just about that. So I thank you for calling in.
Is there anything I can do on my own with that?
Yes, go home and cry.
Okay, I can do that.
I mean that.
No, I know you do.
I mean that. Go home and shed those tears and let yourself do it and don't even put any content to it.
Right. I appreciate that.
Sure. Bye-bye for
bye-bye.
Now. This is Armand DeMille. I'll be back with you on... I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more of The Positive Mind. Remember, you could access this through the WBAI website, WBAI.org. You could look around there for lots of good stuff. Or you could go to my website, thepositivemind.com. Bye-bye for now, my friends.
driving alone for a long time.